B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Close to a bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
51575.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Whoa, Ember is the color of your energy. Whoa, Ember is the color of your energy.
311 is not good band.
Informer,
you know Daddy know me, I will blame. A licky boom boom down. Detective said Daddy me know me, someone down the lane. A licky boom boom down.
Informer,
you know Daddy know me, I will blame. A licky boom boom down. Detective said Daddy me know me, someone down the lane. A licky boom boom down. Cool Runnings.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich Radio Program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. A big night last night. Your two home teams winning.
Well, two of the three home teams. I love how we just conveniently leave out the third one because it's become so tough to even think about or talk about.
Well, who cares about the Red Sox right now?
I mean, it's tough to care about them, and it's becoming even less of a problem, the more that they lose, the more they just become a footnote during this time. It's already tough for them to try to get any kind of face time during the April and May, but the way that they continue to lose, it's like, why would you even consider turning over?
Pathetic and is a good word.
And even watching what's happening there. And then what's going on with, like, Pedroia and all of that. It's sad now more than anything else.
The play is pathetic. What's happening, Pedroia, is sad.
Well, you knew that was going to happen.
Eventually, yes. I didn't expect it to happen so early in the season. I thought it would probably happen, say, August, where he'd look up and just tap out. But last night, with him limping off the field, that was just sad. I mean, guy's had a good career, and it's just now he's all of a sudden really old and unable to play, and some people think that might have been it last night.
And they owe him how much money?
It's another 2 or 3 years. I'd have to double check.
I think it's two. I think he's only got two left.
It's bad is what it is.
But this whole thing with him coming back was just, everyone knows that it was going to be a freak show. We knew that this was going to happen at any moment. It's like when you play that game Perfection when you're a kid. You're just waiting for the thing to pop up and explode in your face. That's what's happening with Pedroia right now. And the way he was grimacing as he was running off the field.
Yeah, it's two more after this one. At $13 million for next year, $12 million for 2021. They owe him $15 million this year.
So I'm sorry, it's two more after this one? So it's a total of like three?
Through 2021.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So two and three quarters. Okay. Two and nine tenths.
Yeah, I've not watched a whole lot of Red Sox baseball this year.
Pedroia he looks done. He looks done. He's 35 years old on a bad knee. And regardless of how much rest they've given him and how many, the surgery, and he looks like he's done. And watching him limp off the field last night, and Alex Cora didn't have a lot of good things to say afterwards. He's talking about now he has to take care of the player. Now he has to do what's best in the interest of the player. And that doesn't sound like he's dinged up for 10 days. It sounds like that's it for a long time. And this is after spending a lot of time just getting him ready to play this year. Extended spring training, not a lot of at-bats. They really didn't get him into spring training games until the last week to 10 days of the spring. and this is what happens to him. That might have been it last night.
All right, so Joe Biden is going to be at the Stop and Shop right next to the station.
Oh, nice.
So I can only imagine what that's going to do to us. I mean, the Stop and Shop is directly next to the station.
Like, what time?
I don't know. It's on the news, and they're doing a live broadcast right from there, from across the street. So Joe Biden's going to be next to us. And God help us all that I hope that it's after 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I don't think, even then, it's not even going to be that nutty.
Well, he's got to have a ton of security with him. I mean, they're going to have to block off the road and stuff.
You're saying the crowds aren't going to be ferocious for this, Rich?
No, I'm saying...
I don't know. Does Biden have, like, a ton of security? Like, enough that they would block off a road?
Yeah, he's the vice president. He was the vice president. He's a huge name in politics. He could possibly be running for president.
Maybe this is the big announcement. If this is going to do it in front of the Stop and Shop in Dorchester.
Stop and Shop in Dorchester.
Yep, this is it. He's a working man, Fred.
I mean, this just sounds like it's going to be a nightmare. That we're going to be trapped here all day.
Oh, I don't know about all day. We got a one way to get out of here. I think we'll be okay.
We're going to be fine. I don't think it's going to be as big as you think it is. He's been around here and he's been around Massachusetts, and I don't think that this is going to, you know, they're going to put security guys on the street and stop traffic. I think it's not going to be as bad as you think.
He's a pretty high profile politician, and he's doing something that they've advertised that he's going to do. I mean, it's on the news. It's been on to the two news stations that we have up right now. And it's got to be this Stop and Shop. He's got to come down to Dorchester at this Stop and Shop.
Yep.
He's going to support the workers. He's going to be part of the strike. Ay, ay, ay.
Speaking of chaos in the streets, if anybody happened to be out at Lansdowne last night, I would like for you to call 617-779-0985. Fred, so they announced yesterday on the news that there was some sort of scuffle outside of the House of Blues yesterday, right around the time the Red Sox game was ending, and that there were two people who were injured, and you're like, huh? It ends up that rapper Kodak Black was supposed to be performing two shows at the House of Blues. I think it was like a 6 o'clock and a 9 o'clock show. Who does that anymore? I thought that was kind of interesting anyway. Oh. And he never showed. So not only did he not show, there is speculation that he was at the Celtics game last night. So,
because that's a pretty good payday. If you're doing the House of Blues.
Yes, two nights in one day? That's awesome. And like rap shows, you just go out there. I mean, it's like, you know, an hour and a half, and he's, you know, got a little track behind him.
Yeah, you got a bunch of guys on stage walking around. I mean, how much do you really have to do?
No, it's like an hour show. Yeah, so you're doing 2 hours of your material, and then you're gone.
So
yeah.
There are videos all over WorldStar, of course, of people chanting outside of the House of Blues, F Kodak, like as long as they can. Now, it's hysterical because it's like 20-year-old white guys just go, you know, wearing their Vineyard Vines. But everyone's out in front of, like, on Lansdowne Street going nuts because this guy didn't show up. Now, there's also videos of the opening acts in their tour bus who are looking down and laughing at it all and videotaping it with their phones. This crowd's going, F Kodak. But that's the best part of it, is that now there's not been confirmation, but I read this on more than one website that the word got out that he was apparently at the Celtics game instead of going to the two shows that he was supposed to do. So if anybody either A, saw this guy at the Celtics game, or if you were part of this deal down there, because the news tried to make it sound like there was violence, and it ended up being that. It was just a bunch of pissed off people who ended up getting like kicked out of the House of Blues because at one point they just came on the stage and said, he ain't coming. You're not going to be here.
Well, you got to have your Kodak Black show.
By the way, who's buying tickets to the 6 p.m. Kodak Black show?
It's for the kids.
I was just going to say, with 15-year-olds who can't stay up late.
Right. I mean, I understand if you sold out a show like the 9 o'clock one, but then they're like, hey, you know what? Can you go to like the kids hour one, the matinee Black show?
Yeah, it's like Zach gets in tomorrow for an hour, and you know he does an early show and a late show, and it's the same thing with Kodak Black. But maybe, you know, maybe Saget will find his way into the Bruins game. So he just said, screw it, I'm going to the Celtics game. Well, that's a good way to manage your career. That's a pretty good payday. House of Blues is no joke. And you get the House of Blues twice?
Yeah, twice in one night. That's and that's the word. Now, I don't know whether or not he was there, but I read that on like more than one site was that there that some of the fans of the band of Kodak Black were saying that he went to the game last night, and there's pictures that are somewhere out there that he's sitting and watching with his friends.
Now, but was he just in normal seats, or was it a...
I don't know. Once again, I have not seen the pictures. That's just word that was on two of these different sites.
Because if you're going and you're just in the upper deck, I mean, now you're wasting your time. Because at Celtics games, there are bad seats. Like, if you... And I know them. Because I've been to games. If you're in the upper deck behind one of the baskets... That's not a good place to be.
Here it is. Kodak Black fans were disappointed and disgruntled when the rapper did not appear at the House of Blues for his back-to-back shows. He was scheduled to perform at 5 and 9:30 last night.
Jesus.
A 5 o'clock rap concert. Yeah.
It's for the kids coming out of work.
He said, as of print time, his Twitter account offered no explanation for his absence. The House of Blues announced on Twitter the post shows are being postponed due to unforeseen circumstances. Theories circulated online as to why Kodak was MIA, one of which that he was catching the Celtics game. Things got rowdy on Lansdowne Street as many fans began chanting blank Kodak outside the venue. Police were called in to control the crowd. And, of course, that's when you see all the videos of these dudes, you know, in their of finest Vineyard Vines yelling F Kodak.
Do
we know who Kodak Black is?
See, I don't know. But then again, I don't follow the... most modern rap music.
Yeah, I don't know who Kodak Black is.
But he's big enough to sell out two, or at least have two shows, the House of Blues in one night. So he's apparently doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, 5 o'clock show is for the youth. I mean, people aren't even off of work. That's a high school show for spring break. All right, Rich, a lot happened last night, a lot with our local teams. What are we going
to
talk about?
Let's get to the good stuff first. We had two... very good character wins, as they like to call them, from both of your local teams that aren't the Red Sox. We'll get to those first.
All right. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For roof.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Oh, a lot of big wins yesterday. First of all, a good old friend shows back up.
Bergeron chipped it ahead, 2-on-1. Here's Marchand over the line, left side, looking for Pastrnak. Deflected, they score! Marchand's original pass kicked right back to him. He stayed with it, sent it down low, and Pastrnak redirects it home. Bruins 3, Leafs 2.
Oh, it felt so good. Let's do it again.
Bergeron wins it. High slot, Pastrnak. Wrister, Anderson the save, rebound. Backhand, just wide, sent out in front. Anderson goes swimming. Back of the net, here's Marchand.
I think Zaitsev got a piece of that attempt by Marchand.
Marchand centers, Pastrnak. He scores! Chaos! The Bruins generating all sorts of looks, and it's centered out in front, and Pastrnak wires it home. A power play goal, 4-2 Bruins.
Who's that man that just had his playoff coming out party last night?
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
That's right. David Pastrnak finally emerged from the back of a milk carton and had himself a two-goal night in the Bruins' 6-4 win over the Maple Leafs. And after all day giving us the impression that he was going to keep the first line intact, Bruce Cassidy does the old switcheroo to start game one, moving Heinen up from the bottom six to the top line with Bergeron and Marchand, slotting Pastrnak down with Krejci and DeBrusk. It's funny. All day, you had seen these lines that were practicing. You had heard that they're going to stay together. And it wasn't until the broadcast at the beginning of the actual NBC broadcast of it that I heard anything about anyone. No reporters were saying that they were going to switch it up. And sure enough,
love playoff hockey.
Yep.
I love the mind games that coaches try and play. I love it.
Well, they had Pastrnak all over the place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were double shifting him for a while.
That happened. That happened early in the third period. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So once Pasta was put back on the line, it generated a nice 5-on-5 goal, and it was also good to see that Chara can still blast one from the point.
Zaitsev turns, met by Bergeron, sent over to the far side, held in by Chara, tees it up, holds, waits, fires, he scores! Bergeron may have tipped it. We'll see who gets it. But Char from long range bombs away. 5-2 Bruins.
Mm-hmm. So despite giving up four goals, Tuukka looked pretty damn good. He finished with 38 saves, including the unbelievable save on the pad save on Connor Brown. That was, and matter of fact, there was a period of time. It was like I read that within 7 minutes of time, he had like 13 shots pelted his way. I believe that was in the was that the third or was it the end of the second where he was just getting killed? I forget.
I don't know. He was nervous for a stretch of time.
No, he didn't play particularly well. There were a couple of goals that weren't his fault, but conversely, there were some that were.
Well, the second goal that he let in was atrocious.
Yeah, but then I thought
that went off his chest.
Yes.
And then he was scrambling all around.
However, in the final 5-6 minutes of the game, Toronto was Toronto was coming on strong. The Bruins had kicked away a 5-2 lead. It was 5-4. Toronto had all sorts of pressure. Bruins played really, really well, which leads me to believe. I mean, that was a game that I've seen the Bruins many times fold up, disappear, go to overtime, and lose. And last night on the road, needing to win, because if you're down 3-1, I'm not convinced they come back and win this series because Toronto has played very well. But the fact that they played 5 big boy minutes at the end and hung on and won that game makes me very optimistic for the future.
And Matthews,
that's what a good team does.
Right. And Matthews got off to Schneid last night, which you thought might cause some problems. He saw the puck go in the net, and sometimes they can get guys going. And, yeah, I mean, there was a point there where I thought they were going to lose as well, but they answered right away, and then you thought, okay, this might be something. And Chara got a cheap goal, too.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which I'll take.
Oh, absolutely.
Not a problem, on this end.
When Rask had a ball go off his chest, and just right off his chest, I mean, that's about as soft a goal as you can allow. Then you thought Rask was going to be done. I thought for a second they were going to pull Rask. But it was not the case.
So the Bees tie things up at 2 games apiece. Here's Poston being back.
I don't know how many shots we got, but I think it was more. We was first on the puck after the shot, you know, and spend more time in the zone. And that's where we are our best, you know.
Hey ref, check your voicemail. You missed some calls.
Yeah, he seemed to talk.
He really said something there.
He did. He seemed to have something to say.
So even for his cast, he knows that this team is going to have to keep Pasternak going if they want to make any noise this postseason.
He's a guy we rely on to score and create offense and actually play a good 200-foot game. He's certainly capable of that. He's getting stronger on the walls, better defensive player than obviously when he broke into the league. So playing with that line, that's the expectation, playing against good players. But it's good to see him score. Scorers, when they don't score, can get antsy. I'm not saying David was there, but we wanted to keep him from going there. Getting his 2 goals, they get recharged.
Well, as far as Brad Marchand is concerned, it's nice to know that he can still get feisty during post-game interviews with people not named Joe Haggerty. Here he is getting a wee bit testy with some of the local press when asked about his game as of late.
You can play the game a couple of different ways. Do you take the temperature of a game to know if you need to be more skill versus more physical?
Well, I mean, I think if you kind of paid attention this season, trying to be more of a player than anything. So I'm not really concerned about more trying to be a physical force. It's not necessarily my game. I play gritty, I play hard, but trying to be a good player for this group, and that's all it is.
Yeah, pay attention, kid. It's not just about being physical. It's about being skilled.
Go back and get your effing shine box.
Mm-hmm. Well, in other Bruins news, Patrice Bergeron has once again been nominated for a Selke Award because, of course, he did. He'll be going up against O'Reilly from St. Louis, Stone from Las Vegas, and what I'm sure will be a star-studded NHL Awards. Who here loves Colin Hanks and Matas Yahoo? You guys ready to party?
I can't believe they had Matas Yahoo on that.
Like, Matas Yahoo 10 years after his hit.
His singular hit.
Yeah, King Without a Crown.
Yeah, which was a, and I would challenge the a hit in that it did not transcend popular music. It was a a song that got played on alternative radio for some alternative radio because it was a white rapper, and they just said, okay, here we go.
So the Bruins return home tomorrow night for game 3 at 7 p.m. and you might see an old friend waving the flag before puck drop because Mark Savard tweeted yesterday, quote, "See you in Boston for game 5.
Nice.
I'll be there, Bruins fans. We are in for another battle. I can't wait to be a part of it." What do we know about Savard as of late? Because, I mean, he's one of those guys that every once in a while he'll write like an article or you'll check in on him. Is he still, does he still have to kind of stay out of the light? Like, can he live a normal life?
I would imagine if he's coming to the game and if he's the guy who's going to wave the flag, that things have gotten a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, obviously a little bit better, but I don't know if that's something that he could do every night. I think being out in the lights, the last I read, I think he made like an article, might have been to the Players Tribune about like 3 years ago. And it was pretty shocking to realize what he's still going through. I don't know what kind of shape he's in now, but it's going to be nice to see him out there. Obviously, the place is going to go nuts. And, of course, you can hear that game right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Should we go ahead and just knock out some of the garbage here, some of the Red Sox garbage?
You want to get it over with?
Should we get it over with?
Jam this into 4 minutes and get it over with?
Yeah. Sure. You know what? Red Sox, they kind of suck right now, ladies and gentlemen.
0-2 coming. And a shot to right. That's deep. That's back. That is gone. Gardner with a grand slam. The Yankees on top, 5-3.
Yeah, Yankees, they end up being the Red Sox, of course. But by the way, the negative 42 run differential for the Red Sox now, the worst by a World Series champion through 19 games.
Second worst in baseball. I mean, that's remarkable for a team that won how many games last year? I mean, it's just second worst run differential in the majors.
And it comes a point where then you have to mathematically look at what they're going to have to do to get to win the division. And I understand that the division is pretty clogged up, but you've lost 2 in a row to the Yankees.
No, the division isn't clogged up. The Tampa's way ahead. The bottom of the division is clogged up. I mean, have a bunch of other sub-500 teams they're kind of swimming with.
The division is clogged up, John, and you're going to have to start, but you're going to, it gets to a mathematical thing where when you have someone tell you what their record's going to have to be throughout the rest of the season.
Sure.
And we're only in April that you go, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, 6-13 is not good. There aren't a lot of teams that have been where the Red Sox are and have sprinted away to get to the playoffs. I think the 2002 Angels were one team. I think there are only a couple that have started this bad and gone on to make the playoffs.
Yeah. It's weird because you think, oh, it's just April, and then they tell you, well, they got to, you know, place, you know, 7 out of 10 for the rest of the season or something like that, and then you go, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I was reading the 2002 Angels started 6-14 and won 99 games. But that is few and far between.
Right.
I mean, this is one of those things where you need a stretch where you win like 13 out of 14. To get back into this thing. Does this team look like they're ready to win 13 out of 14?
No, but at least you had a decent start yesterday. It was the bullpen that crapped the bed.
I know, but look, everyone thought the starters were going to be great and the bullpen was going to be crap. Did we not at the beginning of the season?
Well, that's been the idea for the last 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, honest to God, they don't have a closer. I mean, the bullpen has exceeded all expectations in the first 3 weeks of the season. And last night was more along the lines of what we expected. Brandon Workman, as good as he was 4 or 5 years ago, is a mediocre to poor reliever. Colton Brewer, same thing. I mean, the guy I had high hopes for is the guy who gave up the grand slam last night. I thought Brazier was going to be this team's closer.
A little salami?
Yeah.
A little grand salami?
Yep.
And also you had Dustin Pedroia leaving the game yesterday. Here is Alex Cora on his situation.
In the first swing of that at-bat, the one he fouled off to right field, whatever, he felt something weird in his knee. You know, he finished the at-bat, he came up to me, he's like, hey, man, didn't feel right there. So I decided to take him out. He'll see the doctor tomorrow and see where we at, you know. And like I said, you know, he was also feeling ill, you know, what's going on right now. So that's why he took off. He's not like he's hiding from people. So, yeah. We'll know more tomorrow.
He didn't talk because he was feeling sick, and he went on to reiterate that, yes, indeed, he was sick.
To let you know, Petey left, you know, not because of what happened, but he was also sick, so, you know, he took off.
With diarrhea.
He's got a little bit of the rhea?
Yeah.
So if that was John Tortorella, he would have told him that he had the squirts.
Well, that's basically what Brad Stevens said yesterday about Al Horford. He didn't want to get into. He said, "Well, if you want me to get into it, he's got." He was about to say, "He's got the real.
He's got the squirts."
Yeah.
So he's going to see a doctor, Pedroia, in New York today.
Well, there's only so much they can do with diarrhea. I mean, they can pump you up with. I mean, can I eat some bananas?
Eat bananas, rice. I forget what the other one is. The acronym is BRATS. It's like bananas, rice. Avocados.
What's tea?
I don't know. I remember there was like it was like foods that start with like BRATS, and I don't remember what it's. Or maybe brats. Just eat brats, and that helps diarrhea. Yeah, well, it helps give you more of it.
Well, listen. Well, sometimes you just got to get out of your system. So you gotta get it going. So yeah, Pedroia's got a bad case of diarrhea.
Applesauce and toast. That's what it is. Bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast.
Applesauce. I'm gonna call into question if that does clog you up. All right, Rich. The Celtics with a game that a little too close for comfort, and then they end up sprinting away. Correct.
Yep. Kyrie Irving, playoff Kyrie, has finally become a Celtic.
All right. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, "Hey Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub."
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports. For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, not only did you get a Bruins win last night, you also had the Boston Celtics take home a victory.
They were thankful that for the first time they were on the right side of playoff Kyrie.
Matthews turns the corner. The ball fake gets to the rim but misses in close. Horford has the rebound. Another chance for Boston to take the lead. It's Kyrie. Pull up. Three. Got it.
Man. Good God almighty. Man, give him a mask because he just robbed a doggone bank.
All year long, he talked it. Tonight, he is walking it with his feet barely touching the ground. 5:25 to go in game two. Boston 84, Indiana 82.
Well, this is why you put up with Kyrie's postgame nonsense throughout the seasons. This is why you suffer through will he stay or he won't, and Uncle Drew and all the other garbage that comes along with him, because in the postseason, Kyrie turns into an absolute alien, as he did last night. 37 points. The Celtics win 99-91 over the Pacers to take a 2-game-to-none advantage. Kyrie scored his 37 points, only scoring one off free throws. He was 15 of 26 shooting from the field and 6 of 10 from three-point range. All of the shots that everyone else takes that makes you scream, "No, why are you taking that shot?" Kyrie takes the same shots, and most of the time they go in. He also dished out a team-high 7 assists and has scored 9 of his 37 points in the fourth quarter. So after a lackluster 3 quarters, the Celtics finally stopped messing around and looked about as solid as they have all year. And as sick and as ineffective as Horford was offensively, he was a beast on the defensive side of the ball.
Kyrie gets the Gordon Hayward screen, moving to his right, throws back to Hayward. Hayward sees an opening, pulls up on Bogdanovich from 19 feet, splash.
I said Gordon Hayward has to be that other dude.
89-88, Boston by one. Clock rolling with 2:32 to go in game two.
That was not Horford, but either way, that was Hayward as well. But right. Hayward also had himself a pretty good game.
Yeah,
but
they asked Brad Stevens before the game about not Hayward, but Horford. Horford. And he said, he goes, "Ah, he's sick." And then they pressed him on the details. And he was very reticent to say what was going on, but the hint there was diarrhea.
You think that he might have actually had a little bit of diarrhea there?
I would say it's a 99.9% chance he had diarrhea, because Brad
he
Stevens
was sick
didn't want to
last
talk about
night and not sick this morning.
Well, no, but Brad Stevens was pressed on it. They're like, "How sick is he?"
These are the, see, I get a Google alert for diarrhea.
Oh, okay.
And so whenever anyone around the news has got diarrhea, it comes up.
I see.
So.
So it's just like Rhea?
Well, all derivatives,
you know.
You know, so I should, you know what, Rich, that's a great idea. I should also put in apostrophe Rhea.
But just, you like, just a little, like, nickname for it.
Yeah, because you know what? You're right. Sometimes the kids are talking about diarrhea.
Well, let's hear some more for Neil.
91-89. Seven on the shot clock, 104 on the game clock. Bogdanovich against Horford, switches to the left hand, drives, cradles the ball. Horford stays with him and blocks the shot clean. Jaylen Brown up the left side, has to step on Collison. He's going to take it all the way. Kick to the corner for a Tatum three.
Oh, bang.
Spectacular. Horford's defense, Jaylen Brown's drive, and Tatum's shot. And the Celtics have the lead with 44 seconds to go in game two.
Yep, defense leads to offense. That might have been the play of the game. Al Horford subbed back in with 2:24 left in the third quarter, and the Celtics trailing by 10. He played the rest of the game, and the Celtics closed on a 37-19 run, outscoring Indiana by 19 points in the fourth. And then, Fred, there was this guy.
Tatum will trigger the inbound. Tough getting it in, does to Hayward. Hayward finds Al Horford looking for Tatum as a cutter. Two-hand slam, and they give the foul, but not until Jason Tatum seals game two.
Woo, man. Toe-stomping, please.
Bye.
Watch out, Bogdanovich.
Toe-stomping?
Well, somebody, Max makes these calls. If somebody stepped on my toe, he's done that before. This is the...
Toe-stomping?
Yep. DA, what are you doing here?
Yeah, there's some jelly on some toast. Maybe you could step on it.
Did you see the TD Garden tweeted us a photo of Cedric Maxwell with the giant spread of food that he had in front of him while the game was going on?
Yep. Was it all sweets?
No, it's like just, it's like a tanker of nachos.
Yeah.
And like, what else did he have on there? It was like nachos.
I recognize the nachos. That's why I was drawn to it.
Because he's enormous. He's a monster of a human being.
Well, so is Barkley. Well, Barkley's not as tall. But
no, Max is now 250, 260. I mean, he's well over his playing weight. I mean, it's not as though he's rail thin like he used to be when he played.
What is he, 6'9"? Okay, 6'9". I mean, he's huge.
Now, does he consume alcohol?
I have seen that. It does not happen frequently when I'm around.
Okay, because I'm saying if that's his diet and he drinks it all, he's not a big workout guy, I'm going to assume, either.
I don't know one way or another. In the hotel, I don't see him, so it's possible he could go to the workout.
Because he just like goes into his hotel room and doesn't come out.
That's what I've been told. But again, workout room in these hotels is right downstairs. It's possible he could go down and do that. I don't know.
Okay, like Brett Michaels.
Well, it was 26 points, 10 in the fourth for Jason Tatum, who has really had himself quite the short postseason so far. He's averaged 20.5 points a game while shooting 55% from the field and 6 of 9 from three-point range. Here is Brad Stevens afterward on what Kyrie was able to pull off.
Kyrie was incredible in coming back. When he gets on a run like that, he's going to draw even more attention than he already draws, which is as much as anybody draws in the league. And so in the last couple minutes of the game, he just made the right play. He got off the ball, and he drew two, and other guys made plays.
I heard Kyrie in postgame saying that, you know, after they had that dry spell in the third, he was like, well, my whole plan was I was just going to go in and score. And I was just going to continue to score. And
score the entire time, as many points as I can. Yeah.
And what are you yelling at the TV? Give the ball to Kyrie, because the guy couldn't miss there for a while.
That's the difference in the series. What you saw in the last quarter and a half is the difference in the series. The Celtics have Kyrie Irving. Indiana doesn't have anybody. They have Bogdanovich, who shot the ball real well first three quarters, was everywhere. But when it came down to it, the Celtics took Bogdanovich away, and Indiana didn't have another option. The Celtics had three guys that could score in the fourth quarter. Irving got them there, and then you saw Tatum make two big shots in the fourth, and Gordon Hayward continues to play well. So the Celtics should put this away in four or five, and then comes the big problem.
Well, here's Kyrie Irving winning your heart back once again.
You know, I'm just happy to be able to be part of a lineage of great players that have put on some unbelievable performances, you know, here in the TD as well as in the Old Garden. And, you know, it's really special to know that the fans here, they're rooting us on, and, you know, they want everything to be perfect. And, you know, it's just not the reality of the game, but we do our best to go out there and really lay it all on the line. And, you know, we throw ourselves into the game and we hope for some great results.
Oh, you got me back, Kyrie.
Well, we just said he's happy to join the great players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't exactly a humble...
No, is that he loves being a Celtic. He bleeds green, Fred.
No, well, he also compared himself to the great Celtics of all time.
Well, he might end up being one.
There's no question about that. It just... I mean, you're taking a very boastful statement and turning it into a heartwarming thing.
Hey, he loves the Celtics, all right? He's better than Isaiah Thomas. He's better than anyone. Who's better than Paul Pierce? He's my hero.
Yeah,
I'm going to forget everything he said for the last 2 months.
I think that's
the plan. You are not an a-hole, Kyrie. You just keep doing what you did last night.
Yeah.
And
the team that won 75 championships in a row. All right, we will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
Well, we had one bonkers as hell day in the Robert Kraft case yesterday. That was strange. So right around noon, a report kind of slipped under the radar that the people down in Jupiter, Florida said, you know what? This thing's getting released, and it's getting released soon. And at that point, I thought, by the end of the day, the Robert Kraft video is going to see. I mean, it was this is a certainty. Here we go. It's going to be done. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Robert Kraft and John Doe's people filed a motion to intervene and block it, and it worked. A judge ordered that the state may not release the evidence until there is a proper hearing as to whether or not it was recorded legally. So just within a matter of, 2 hours between the announcement that it was coming out and then this thing? Boy, Kraft's lawyers must just be sitting at the courthouse and just waiting for anything to happen so they can run in and file paperwork with paperwork ready to go. But
raise your hand if you think that Robert Kraft found this John Doe guy and said, let's get going.
I mean, I bet he did.
Yeah, that he just
been my theory all along.
Yeah.
That he just found this John Doe guy and he goes, you want to make a little money?
And to that I say, that's having good lawyers. That they're doing their job. I would do the exact same thing if I was him. You find anyone else who has a stake in this. And obviously, they're probably trying to convince that the more people have a problem with it, the better. It looks also better that the simple man, the common man, has an issue with it and not just like a rich billionaire. Probably just aesthetically that looks better.
Now, I'm sure there's a million theories out there, but what I read on CNN was that this tape's getting out, come hell or high water.
So CNN said, like, after this thing was
that eventually this tape is coming out legally. Now, then it was from a defense attorney in Florida saying that the laws there are basically cut and dry. But however, I've been led down a primrose path before. So, but that was a lawyer in the report from CNN.
Well, that was a weird day because for a moment there, all of a sudden, everyone thought that even before the schedule was released, there'd be a different type of release, and most people were checking their email.
You wrote that down.
No, you didn't
think of that off the top of your head.
That's right off the dome.
Come on.
That's what freaking certainly McYuckster will bring you.
My God.
Right.
He's the king of improv. Now, listen.
Yucky McChuckles over here is going to rock your world.
Okay, so let me ask the room. If the tape comes out, does he go to a Celtics playoff game again?
No.
Yeah. Raise his hands?
No. Yeah, he does. Because then it's like, what do you got to lose?
No.
Like, it's like you're at the bottom. It's like, what do you got to lose?
Nope. It was a safe environment the last time. You sat him next to Wick Grousebeck. You put the video on him. I was up on the Jumbotron. Yay! But after that video comes out, all bets are off.
I'm with Rich.
Then what do you got?
What else are you going to do to me?
Yeah.
The video comes out, and it's like, what else are you going to do?
I think it's the reason he is so fervently going after this video is that obviously it's going to be very embarrassing for him one way and then legally another way.
Legally is nothing.
Well,
but I wouldn't.
That's why I mentioned it second. All I'm saying is he's embarrassed by it.
Of course.
So I think if the video comes out, he will continue to be embarrassed by it even more so. Videos of anything are much more powerful. I don't got to tell you guys these things that we've seen cases like this before. Ray Rice, especially, even though it was for something wildly different.
I mean, you can't even compare the two.
Just if there's video of something, you look at the subject matter differently. But that's the only comparison.
In the CNN article, it also said that it would be heavily pixelated.
So, I don't think that matters.
I think it matters a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely matters.
I mean, because you can't see what's going down. I mean, if it's heavily pixelated, it's just an old guy laying on a table.
I mean, I just... Well, let's break down how pixelated this is going to be.
Do you ever watch Japanese pornography?
Have I in the past?
Pornography that... Not the octopus.
No, pornography. I'm aware of... I'm picking up what you're putting down. Now, I think that the answer is yes. I think I know where you're headed with this.
Anytime that there's any penetration in any way, that there is a... it's pixelated.
Sure.
And I'll tell you what.
But if it's the same pixelation in the Japanese porn that winds up in the craft video tapes, should they release it?
It's also going to be in black and white and from a distance.
I'll
tell you what, as soon as you get into the Japanese porn, I'll tell you what's disappointing.
What's that?
The minute those pixelated things come up. Because now you've taken me entirely out of the situation.
Yeah.
You've broken the third wall. You know? You got me sitting there, and I want to know what's doing, and you got it all pixelated.
I see. So this is going to be a strange back and forth. And to be quite honest, it's gotten to the point where we're almost at Deflategate level of having to continue to read. Sorry, the kid out loud.
I know that
it's freaks me out. Funny. A little kid with a mask on walking around.
It's a kid from one of the kids of Guy and Lauren and Wally, and the kids in third grade. He's got a handle on him. He was dribbling a basketball. Man. Yeah. Jesus,
not bad.
School vacation.
Thought Gage was coming to cut my Achilles for a minute. That is a Pet Sematary reference.
Yes.
So at this point, I was looking at all this yesterday. I'm thinking to myself, I hate when you have to read legal stuff. And we did so much of that with Deflategate, and we're approaching that right now.
Where's Hurley?
Well, Hurley. I mean,
Hurley's not into this because it's anti-patriot.
Well, so was Deflategate.
Yeah, but that's...
I think this would almost be in the same boat.
He don't like to deal in the...
Oh, really?
In the erotic arts.
He's above it? He's above it all?
Yes, I see.
Somehow, I think you're wrong about that. I don't see him writing about it. That doesn't mean he isn't reading legal documents. It's what he does.
I'm sure just for fun, but I haven't seen him. I follow him on Twitter. I haven't seen him writing about it. But the more I think about the video, and then I think of my Japanese porn experiences, I believe that this is going to be at like a far angle in black and white and pixelated. Do you think Kraft's seen the video?
No, because I don't think his lawyers have seen it.
Okay.
I think that they've... My God, I've read so much. I believe they've requested that they see it, and they have not been allowed
it. Okay, because my contention would be, the more I think about it, is that it's basically a black and white film of him laying down, and... Everything's pixelated.
Why do you think?
And then it hands money.
Why do you think that the prosecution came out yesterday and said we're going to release it? Like, is that some sort of like negotiation ploy, or is that some sort of like, all right, you want to play hardball? We're going to release to the press that we're going to release this,
probably.
Even though they know that they had to go to a judge anyway.
Probably. I mean,
the judge ended up ruling on it.
Probably.
So they're probably pissed that this whole thing has become like, you know, that Kraft's lawyers continue to say how much they botched and bungled this entire thing.
Yes.
And I think this was an FU yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, probably.
That makes sense.
Sounds like it. All right. There will be no commercials here. Just the headlines. Schedules are out.
Hey, now.
NFL schedules are out. Party time. Don't spoil them. But now it's spoiler-free. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.